The third parak continues talking about Tuma and Tahara. In particular, we're going to talk about the levels number 3 and number 4 of Tahara that we saw at the end of the prior parak. In other words, we're going to talk about differences as it relates to level number 3, Truma, and the higher level, number 4, Kodesh, which are eating sacrificial parts of a sacrifice. So we're going to talk about in the next 3 Mishnayos 11 different ways that we have to be stricter when it comes to level number 4 Kodesh relative to level number 3 Truma. So the Mishnah starts as follows. Mishnah Aleph, Chomer BaKodesh MeBit Truma. When we have to be stricter when it comes to Kodesh relative to Truma. And we'll give 4 or 5 different examples in our Mishnah and continue into the next Mishnah. Number 1 is Shemat Bilin Kalim Betoch Kalim Letruma. When we want to tovel Kalim that are Tameim and we want to use those Kalim with either Truma or Kodesh, we are permitted when it comes to Truma to tovel a Kli, a vessel within another vessel. We're not concerned that the water will get stuck in between and won't do a good job when it comes to tefillah of the inner kli. However, avalo b'kodesh, when it comes to kodesh, we have to not tovel one kli and another kli. We have a higher level of responsibility that each and every kli will get a very excellent tefillah in the mikvah. Next example of when we are stricter when it comes to kodesh relative to truma. When it comes to a kli, and it has different parts of it. For example, if we have a kli that holds things, there's an outside of the kli, there's the inside of the kli, and there's the handle in which we grip, we hold on to the kli. So if the kli comes into contact with a tuma, that's durabanan, a rabbinic tuma, do we assume that the whole kli, even though the tuma only touched one of those 3 parts, the whole kli becomes tame, or only that part? So achorayim, vetoch, ubesat svita, when it comes to the outside of the kli, and we have the inside of the kli, and when it comes to the handle of the kli, but truma, when it comes to truma, these are viewed as 3 different parts, and if the tuma derabanan only touched one part, only that one part becomes tame. In other words, an example would be if we have truma on the inside of the kli, and something that is tame on the derabanan level touches the handle of the outside of the kli, the truma on the inside of the kli will not become tame of a lo b'kodesh. That is not the case with kodesh, that if somebody touches one of those 3 parts of the kli, the entire kli becomes tame when it comes to kodesh. Example number 3, Hanosei Asamidras. We have somebody who is carrying something that has a tumah of a midras, as we explained in the prior Mishnah. If we have in the prior parak, if we have a zav or a zava, a yoledes, a nida, and they have a status of a midras, if they lean on something or sit on something, so that item has the tuma samidras. It's an ava tuma, very high level of tuma. If somebody's carrying one of those items, for example, carrying the shoe of a zav, so carrying the shoe of a zav, so that shoe was leaned on, walked on by a zav, it has the ava tuma of the midras, so he has that in one hand. He is allowed to nose as a truma. He's allowed in the other hand to carry an earthenware vessel, and inside that vessel is truma. We're not concerned that the truma in the vessel we become tame because he's holding in his other hand something that has the tuma of the midras of alob as a kodesh. But we won't take that risk when it comes to kodesh, that you're not permitted to have somebody carrying both midras, for example, in one hand and kodesh, even if it's within an earthenware vessel which isolates it from tuma on the outside. We're concerned that the kodesh inside the vessel would become tame. And number 4 example, this is leveraging what we saw at the end of the last parak, bigdei ochle truma, the clothing of somebody who maintains his level of tahara on the level of truma, which is level number 3, that is a midras. That clothing is considered to have the level of an av hatumah of lakodesh to those who maintain themselves on the level number 4, those who want to eat kodesh. They would have to be tovel b'mikveh if they touch the clothing of somebody who is an ochle truma. Example number 5, Lo midit midita kemidas hakodesh midas hatruma. We don't treat kodesh the same as truma. In other words, truma is treated on a lower level. We have less strictness typically when it comes to truma level number 3 relative to kodesh level number 4. And we're talking now about if we have a garment that is tame and we need to tovel it, and we want to use that garment, for example, with together with Kodesh or Truma, Shabbat Kodesh Mati. When it comes to Kodesh, if we have a knot in that beged, in that piece of clothing, and we need to tovel it in a mikvah, we have to untie that knot. And in addition, if there's oil or other wetness on that garment, umenagev, we have to remove it, we have to dry it off, and only thereafter, once we are proactive in untying all the knots and removing any liquids that are attached to that beged, then umatbil, we have to tovel that beged, and only thereafter, vacharka kosher, can we retie the knots on that beged. We are concerned here that if we have a knot, it will act as a chatzitza in the tefillah, the water won't get in, or if we have oil or whatever it is, that liquid on top of that garment, that will also act as a chatzitza. But truma, when it comes to truma, we don't have those concerns. You can even kosher v'achar kach mafil, you can even go so far, certainly you don't have to untie the knots or dry off any liquids on it, but you can even tie the garment in advance with a knot, even if it's not there, and specifically tovel it with the knot. We're just simply not going to have the same concerns when it comes to toveling a garment, which is going to be used on the level of truma, as opposed to when it's going to be used on the higher level of kodesh. We have stricter responsibilities and procedures for toveling that beged. Mishnah Beis continues, and the difference is that we are stricter when it comes to kodesh relative to truma. So example number 6 of the differences between truma and kodesh, kelim hanigborim b'tahara. If we have various types of vessels that were made by a craftsman, and he was strict about not letting them become tameh, so they were finished and under his supervision, tzrichim tvila lakodesh. Nonetheless, if we're going to use those kelim for kodesh, they would require to be toveled in advance of use of alola truma. But when it comes to our truma, which is on a lower level of kodesh, that's a level number 3, then we would not be required to tovel that kli to put things that are truma in them. And example number 7 of when we're stricter when it comes to kodesh than truma, if we have a kli and in it is various types of food, and we have somebody who is a tful yom, somebody is a tful yom, has a certain level of tumah still, but not very strict. It's somebody who was tameh, went to mikvah, and now simply has to wait until the sun sets in order to be fully tahor. So somebody who is a tful yom touches food, a piece of the food that is in a certain kli. So the Mishnah says as follows, a kli. If we have this kli, we have this vessel, and in it is food, different portions of food, mitzaref masha besocho lakodesh. When it comes to the food inside of it and the pieces, they are on the level of kodesh. If a tfuyum touches one of them, the kli binds them together, and they all together become tameh for purposes of kodesh, avolola truma. But if it's truma that's inside that vessel and a tfuyum touches one of them, it's only that one that becomes tameh and not all of them. Example number 8, haravi ba kodesh pasul vashlishi ba truma. This is a little bit complicated. We'll just keep it on a high level. If we have something that is an avatuma, something that is on a high level of tuma, will make something else a rishon, meaning as it touches other items, down the line, the degree, the level of tuma is decreased, and in fact, it stops at certain points for certain types of food. So a rishon can end, but in certain circumstances, a rishon, if it touches something else, it will make it a sheni. If a sheni touches something else, most of the time it will end, but if it touches either kodesh or truma, it makes it a shlishi. And if that shlishi touches something, if we're talking about truma, it would not make the truma into a revi. It ends at the shlishi. But when it touches a kodesh, if a shlishi touches a kodesh, it will make that item a revi, but it ends there. So that's why it says haravi, but kodesh pasul. When it comes to kodesh, it ends at a revi, but it goes all the way up to a revi. And if that item that's a revi touches something, it doesn't touch anything else. In other words, it is tameh, but it won't make something else into a chamishi, into a fifth level of tuma. However, vashlishi b'truma, when it comes to a truma, the sheni will make truma a shlishi, but it ends there. It does not go any further to make something else or a vi. Uva truma, And the next example, number 9, is Betruma im nibneit achas miyadav. So if we have somebody who one of his hands touches something that's Tuma on a Durabana level, and he wants to use that hand to touch Truma, so he can indeed use the other hand, meaning one hand becomes Tame on a rabbinic level. That Tuma doesn't spread automatically to the other hand. The other hand can be used to touch Truma without making it impure. So it says Betruma im nibneit achas miyadav when it comes to Truma, if one hand becomes Tameh Chaverta Tahora, the other hand is still Tahor and can be used to touch Truma. However, Uva Kodesh, when it comes to Kodesh, Matbil Shteichen, both hands are considered Tmeim. Even if just one hand become Tameh, you cannot use the other hand to touch Kodesh. It would make the Kodesh Tameh. And so accordingly, you have to tovel both of your hands in order to touch Kodesh. Shayad Mitameh et Chaverta Bekodesh, because one hand is mitamei the other hand when it comes to Kodesh. That happens automatically. Avolo b'truma, when it comes to truma, the truma is isolated to one hand. The other hand, the second hand, can be used to touch the truma. Mishnah Gimel completes the last two times, two examples of when we are stricter when it comes to Kodesh, which is our level number 4 on purity, relative to Truma, which is our level number 3. So the Mishnah says as follows. This is the 10th example of this distinction between Truma and Kodesh. Ochlin achalim neguvin beyadayim esoavos betruma. We're just going to give one of the explanations, a little bit less of a complicated explanation than brought by Rashi in the Bar Tanura. So it is permitted when it comes to eating of truma to eat truma even if one's hands are tameim, as long as the food that is being eaten is dry. In order to make something tame, when it comes to a food, it had to have touched water. That's called mukhshar lekabel tuma. It enables it to receive tuma. So when it comes to food, it had to have touched water, and then somebody touches it or something touches it, that's tame. That is how that food becomes tame. So if that food is dry, it's not mukhshar, it's not able to accept tuma. So even though the person eating that truma, his hands are tameim, the truma itself, the truma food, does not become tame. Accordingly, we'll read it again. Ochlim achalim neguvim. It's permitted to eat foods, truma foods, that are dry, biyadayim misoavos, with hands that are tame, when it comes to truma, because you're not going to make that food tame. Avalo b'kodesh, when it comes to kodesh, we are stricter, and even if the kodesh food has not been mukhshar lekabel tuma, nonetheless, it is not permitted to eat that dry kodesh with hands that are tameim. An example of number of 11, scenario number 11, when we are stricter when it comes to Kodesh relative to Truma, ha'onein, somebody who has a close relative that has passed away, and it is between the time of the passing away, the person having died, and the kfura, the close relatives are in a status of an onein. This is the time of aninus, before the kfura. At the kfura, they become aveilim. So an onein is prohibited to eat kodesh, but is permitted to eat truma. So an onein, umechusar kipuri, mechusar kipuri, somebody who was tame, for example, a metzora or a zav, and they go through a process of becoming tahorim, and as part of that process, they go to mikvah, and also the sun sets at nightfall, and still the next day, they are required to bring a korban. So this is somebody who, it went through the process, went to mikvah, the sun is set, but is still mechusar kippurim, lacking a full kapara, a full repentance, because the person has not brought the korban yet. So such a person is still prohibited as well, just like the onein is not permitted to eat the kodesh, but is permitted to eat shruma. So accordingly, onein v'amechusar kippurim tzrichim tefila lekodesh, even after they've gone through the purification process, they are still required to make an additional tevila in the mikvah in order to eat kodesh, the rationale being because they were prohibited to eat kodesh while they were an onein or mechusar kippurim, they could very easily have not been focusing on maintaining themselves to be at the level of purity in order to eat Kodesh. They could have had a Hesach Hadas. They're not focused on Kodesh because they can't eat Kodesh. Accordingly, when they resume the ability to eat Kodesh, when the Onen becomes an Avel after the Kfura, when the Mechusar Kippurim brings that last Korban, now they can start eating Kodesh again. They have to be Tovel and Mikvah to enable that eating of the Kodesh. Avalob L'Truma. However, this does not apply when it comes to Truma. The Onen and the Mechusar Kippurim were already always allowed to eat Truma. Therefore, they would not have a Hesach Hadas for maintaining their purity to the level requisite required to eating the truma. Mishnah Daled changes gears for us, whereas in the prior Mishnayos we've been talking about 11 differences between Kodesh and Truma, that Kodesh we are much more stringent about in those 11 situations. Now we're changing gears and we're going to discuss a time or times that we are actually stricter when it comes to Truma, which is on a lower level of purity. It's level number 3 relative to Kodesh, which is on the higher level. So we're switching gears here somewhat in the sense that we'll see that we'll be discussing when we have an Ama Aretz. Ama Aretz is somebody who's not strict. He's an ignoramus or simply not knowledgeable, not strict about Tuma and Tahara. That Ama Aretz, our issue is, when is he believable to tell us that he has maintained something, for example, food substances, vessels, on the level of Truma, so that somebody who is strict about maintaining purity on the level of Truma can trust him? And the same question for Kodesh, when is he believable? And what we'll see is he's more believable when it comes to the higher level of purity, Kodesh, than the lower level of purity, Truma. So the Mishnah says as follows, Chomer b'Truma. There is now, we're going to see that there is a time or times that we are going to be stricter when it comes to Truma. Shebi Yehuda ne'emanim al taharas yayin v'shemen kol yemos hashana, that in the areas, the land of Yehuda, and Ama Aretz is going to be believed when he tells us that he has maintained the tahara, the purity level, when it comes to wine or when it comes to oil all year round. If he says, I maintain this as required for somebody who wants to use this oil and this wine as Kodesh, it can be used as Kodesh all year round. And when it comes to Truma, he's not believed all year round, simply during specific times of the year. So b'shas hagitos v'habadim, during the harvest seasons for both grapes and olives, and when they are pressing the grapes and pressing the olives during those seasons only, af al ha-truma, is that person believable for truma? The reason being that everyone, even Amei Haaretz, are strict during those time periods when harvesting and pressing the olives and the grapes. They know they're going to be pressing these items, and that they're going to be taking off truma at those times. So accordingly, even they, the Amei Haaretz, would remain tahor during those times in order to maintain the purity of the olives and the grapes in order to make the wine and the shemen in order to make the oil. So they're only believed in limited times when it comes to Truma. They're believed all the times when it comes to Kodesh. So we see here that we are stricter here when it comes to Truma relative to Kodesh. And continuing in the same vein, Avru Hadgitos, the Habadim, if those pressing, the harvest and the pressing seasons passed, and an Am Aretz brings to a Kohen who requires that what he eats is going to be on the level of the purity of Truma, and the Am Aretz brings it to him, but it's not during those seasons that the Am Aretz is believed. And now he brings in the barrel of oil, of wine or oil, and he says this is Truma, it's been maintained on the level of purity. The Kohen lo yikableno mimenu, is not permitted to take it from him, because that Ama Aretz is not trustworthy on the off-season. Aval manicha lagas haba. However, interestingly, that Ama Aretz can keep it by him for the future harvest period, for the future pressing seasons, and then give that same chavis, that same barrel of wine, to the coin at that time. Obviously, that Ama Aretz had to maintain that barrel on the level of Truma. It's not simply that we're going to delay and give it to him, but throughout, we know he's believable. He'll be believable the next season, but he has to maintain that same barrel at the level of Truma. Vim Amar Lo. However, If the Am Haaretz says to him, says to the Kohen, Hifrashti l'socha reviz kodesh, Nema, not only is this truma on the level that you can eat it, this is on the off season, so he tells him not only is the truma, but in addition, in this barrel, I also have a certain amount, it's called a reviz here, a quarter of a lug, a certain measure, a small measure of kodesh has been included, meaning it's all mixed together in this barrel, and my intention was that kodesh, that small amount that's included in this barrel, is going to be used for the mizbeach. Accordingly, he is neman, that Amaretz is neman, because he's neman on kodesh all year round, and because there's kodesh included in that barrel with the truma, he's going to be believed on the truma wine as well. Continuing, another stringency when it comes to truma as it's relative to kodesh. So the Mishnah continues, kade yayin v'kade shemen hameduma os. Now we're talking specifically about the jugs. The jug itself that is holding the wine, and the jug itself that is holding the shemen, that is holding the oil, and it is a mixture. What's going on here is that what's included is wine and oil that is tevel. Tevel is raw substance that no trumas and maestras have been taken off from. In other words, you're not allowed to use the wine, the shemen, whatever it is, if it's produce, the apples, you're not allowed to eat it until the required tithes have been taken off, trumas and maestras. So here we have an Am Haaretz that has a kad of yain, a kad of shemen, and it's all mixed together. And he says as follows, that this is tevel, but my intention is to, I'm going to take off truma from it as required. And accordingly, there's a mixture in this barrel. Right now it's tevel, but tevel is made up of, he says it's chulin, that's regular produce, and I'm going to be taking off truma. And I'm also having in mind that I will be separating some of this wine or oil to be used as kodesh. So it's similar to the prior situation that we have kodesh that's mixed in, but here we're talking about, is he believed on the vessels holding it themselves? If it's simply him coming and saying, this is kodesh, or this includes kodesh right now, he's believed all year round. This is different in two ways. Number one is, we're talking about the jugs that are holding the items. And number two, it's not kodesh right now. He's simply saying, my intention is that I will be giving kodesh from this barrel. Accordingly, the Mishnah says as follows, Ne'emanim aleihem bishas hagitos v'abadim, is believed at the time of the harvesting season, and when we are pressing the wine and pressing pressing the grapes and pressing the olives, he's believed not only about the contents he's believed about, but also about the jugs, saying the jugs themselves are tahorim, and not only during those seasons, but v'kodem lagitos shivim yom, also 70 days in advance of the pressing season is when people used to purify their kalim, the vessels, including the jugs and the barrels. So he's believed even 70 days before the harvest season, even though this is not kodesh right now, but simply by saying that he will be using this for kodesh, he's believed on the contents, and he's also believed on the barrels themselves, not only during the pressing season, but 70 days in advance as well. Mishnah Hay brings us another unusual circumstance where we are lenient when it comes to kodesh relative to truma, even though truma is typically on a lower level, has to be treated on a lower level of tahara than kodesh. So the Mishnah is discussing a situation that our default is that the kalim, the utensils that are purchased from an Am Haaretz, the default is on a rabbinic level that they are going to be tameim. However, there is an exception to the rule when it comes to kodesh. And this is talking about the situation at the time we had the Beis Hamikdash, that there was a high demand for small earthenware pots that would be used in Yerushalayim in particular for the purposes of cooking the meat from the korbanos, and also for baking the flour from the minachos, from the flour offering. So there was high demand for those earthenware utensils, and many of the people who were potters, who used to make those vessels, were Amei Haaretz. So the default would be that their kalim purchased from them could not be used with kodesh, could not be used for those purposes, and then people would be stuck. There would be a lack of ability to bake and cook the needs of the kodesh, of the things that were used for the korbanos and the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah tells us that in a certain geographic area that was close to Yerushalayim, Chazal were lenient that you could purchase these vessels for purposes of Kodesh, for purposes of using these earthenware vessels, the small earthenware vessels, in order to cook and bake as necessary for Kodesh, for sacrificial items. However, they were not lenient when it came to Truma. So the Mishnah says as follows, Min ha-Modi'is v'lifnim. Modi'is was a town approximately 15 mil from Yerushalayim, approximately, very roughly, 15 kilometers outside of Yerushalayim was this town. And from that town, from Modi'is, and inward towards Yerushalayim, Ne'emanim, the potters, even though they were Amei Ha'aretz, and the default would be that their Kelim are Tameim, they would be believed if they made the claim that they maintained this purity of their Kelim on the requisite level necessary to be used for Kodesh, they would believe. Ne'emanim al klei cheres, they would believe for their earthenware vessels. Min ha-Modi'is v'lachutz. However, once they stepped out in the opposite direction from Modi'is and outward, further away from Yerushalayim, ein ne'emanim, they were not believed. In other words, it was simply limited to a specific geographic area that they were believed as it was closer to Yerushalayim. So here's an example of what we're talking about. Hakadar shu mocher k'deirus, we're talking about, and there are different ways to read this. We'll read it in a more simpler way. This is the way it worked, is that we had that geographic boundary, that if they're on one side of Modi East towards Yerushalayim, they're believed. If they're outside of Modi East, on the opposite side, further from Yerushalayim, they're not believed. Kate said, how did this work? Hakadar, we have this potter who is an Amar shu mocher k'deirus, that he sells these pots, earthenware pots, nichnas lifnim min ha-Modi'is, if he is on the inside, he was outside, and he went on the inside of Modi'is, geographically towards Yerushalayim, hu ha-kadar, vehen ha-kderos, vehen ha-loklim, they were the same individual, he's the same potter, these are the same pots, they're the same people purchasing, but if he's in the geographic area closer to Yerushalayim, from Modi'is to Yerushalayim, he's Ne'eman. However, same person, same pots, same purchasers, Yatza, if he goes out of that geographic area on the other side of Modi'is, Eino Ne'eman, he's no longer believed. Mishnah Vav is a continuation of the prior Mishnah where we talked about a potter, a kadar, who is an Ama Aretz, that typically the vessels of an Amen Aretz, or the vessels touched by an Amen Aretz, they are considered to be Tameim. There are certain times that the Amen Aretz is going to be believed. For example, the potter making a claim that he maintained his vessels on a level of Tahara for purposes of use with Kodesh, for purposes of with sacrificial offerings, portions, and if that, he's in the specific geographic area between Modi'is and Yerushalayim, he's believed. Our Mishnah continues that concept in discussing another two categories of people that are going to be believed, even though they are Amei Ha'aretz, but we have trustworthiness in certain situations. So it says as follows, Hagabayim, we have a tax collector who's an Amei Ha'aretz. Typically what he touches becomes Tamei on a rabbinic level. Shenichnasu lesoch habayis, he entered into somebody's house in order to collect a tax debt. V'chein haganavim sheichziru es hakelim, or we have thieves, they stole earthenware vessels, and they have now returned it. And the question is as follows, Ne'emanim lomar lo naganu, are they believed when they make a claim, we didn't touch it? The Mishnah says they are indeed believed to say they didn't touch. What didn't they touch? So when it comes to the tax collectors, the claim of the tax collectors is that when we went into the house to come and collect on the debt, we didn't touch any other vessels other than what we took. So that would be believable. So the default would be that those vessels in the house would not be presumed to be Temeim. And similarly, when we had the thieves and they stole that earthenware vessel, they are believed to make the claim that we didn't touch the inside of the vessel, only the outside. And when it comes to an earthenware vessel, they're only metame, they can only become impure if they're touched inside the vessel, not on the outside. And now we continue, and this is more of a continuation of the prior Mishnah where we discussed the difference between Truma, that there are times that we're actually more lenient when it comes to Truma relative to Kodesh. So here we continue in that vein, Ubi Yerushalayim Ne'emanim ala Kodesh, when it comes to the Amei Ha'aretz. In Yerushalayim, the Amei Ha'aretz are relieved when they make a claim that they have maintained. And the prior Mishnah talked about smaller earthenware vessels. Now we're talking about even large earthenware vessels. They are believed for purposes of Kodesh because they will be used for purposes of the korbanos, the various needs of the sacrifices, but they are not believed, on the other hand, when it comes to Truma. So we see that distinction as well. when it comes in the prior Mishnah to the smaller Tanur vessels. Here we have to larger Tanur vessels, that we have a kula when it comes to Kodesh relative to Truma. And in addition, they are also believed Ushas HaRegel Afala Truma when it comes to the time of the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, that even Amei Haaretz maintain themselves on a level of Tahara. So not only Chaverim, but everyone has the status. Even Amei Haaretz has the status of being a chaver, being careful when it comes to Tuma and Tahara, and accordingly at the Shas HaRegel, at the Shalosh Regalim, when everyone is careful, they are Neman to make a claim that their vessels and etc., their utensils that they have in their possession, that they're selling, etc., can be used both for Kodesh and for Truma. Mishnah Zion continues the concept that we just saw, that during the regal, during the Shalosh Regalim, we dispense with the Tuma of the Amei Haaretz. In other words, during the rest of the year, if an Amei Haaretz touches a vessel, we assume it's Tame, but during the Shalosh Regalim, we assume that even the Amei Haaretz are Chaverim, that they are people who maintain Tuma and Hantara and can be trusted. So what our Mishnah is going to grapple with is we have a merchant who sells items, and he sells it during the Shalosh Regalim, and he maintains, he is a chaver, so he maintains them on a certain level of tahara, but he has customers who come in that are typically Amei Haaretz. But they're there during the Shalosh Regalim when they are neman, when they are trusted, that they are maintaining their level of tahara. But what happens with the items that still are around after the Shalosh Regalim? In other words, he opened a barrel of wine, or he started selling a big piece of dough, and the Amei Haaretz touched it during the Shalosh Regalim when there are Neman, but now it's after the Shalosh Regalim when they are not Neamanim. Does that dough, does that wine still have the status that it was not Tame, even though it was touched by an Amei Haaretz, because Amei Haaretz touched it during the Shalosh Regalim, or now, because they are no longer Neman, we have to sell that dough to somebody who would not care about the Tuma. We could not sell it to somebody who is a Chaver, who requires it to be on the level of Tahara that he is used to, that he's maintaining. So the Mishnah says as follows, HaPoseach et Chaviso, Bamaschil b'isaso al gav haregel. If somebody opens up his barrel of wine, or he starts selling a dough, and it's during the regal, but now it's after the regal, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yigmar. Rabbi Yehuda is of the view that the merchant who is a chavra can indeed continue selling that item. The concept here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that we suspended the Tuma of the Amei Haaretz during the Shalosh Regalim because we want to ensure that the merchants are selling the necessary items that people need to purchase for the Shalosh Regalim. And if we tell them after the Chag that they can no longer sell it as being pure, then they would have never and they won't in the future be selling those items, because they know they're going to take a financial loss if they can't continue selling them after the Chag. So Rabbi Yehuda is of the view you can continue selling the items that you were selling during the Chag, even giving it the status of it being Tahor. V'chachamim amrim lo yigmar. Chachamim are of the view that the Amaratzim, they are only Neaman during the Chag. So after the Chag, we can no longer sell items that they touched, even though they touched it during the Chag, but we can no longer sell it as if it is on a level of Tahara. Now, another follow-on issue is that we had all these Amaratzim that are not strict about Tuma and Tahara in the Beis HaMikdash during the Shalosh Regalim. So after the Shalosh Regalim, we know that they touched all the vessels there. So accordingly, the Mishnah says, Misha'avar a regal, after the regal has passed, so now the Tuma of those Amei Haaretzim is reinstated. Hayu ma'avirin al tamas taharas ha'azara. They would come, the Kohani would come and be metaher. They would purify the entire Azara. In other words, they would take all the kalim, all the vessels that were used and potentially touched by the Amei Haaretzim, and they would go and tovel them in a mikvah. It's like turning over the kitchen after Pesach. So they have to turn over the entire courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash in order to be sure that it was Tahar going forward. Because now, after the Chagim, after the Chag ends, the Tuma of the Amei Haaretzim is reinstated. And the Mishnah is now going to give us a little bit detail about this turnover of the Beis HaMikdash after the Shalosh Regalim, Avar HaRegel B'Yom Shishi, if the Chag ended Thursday night. So now it's Friday. Accordingly, the Kohanim had to be busy with their preparations, their personal preparations of getting ready for Shabbos. Lo hayu ma'avirim imnei kvod haShabbos. They wouldn't take this turnover. They wouldn't remove all the kelim and tovel them on Friday. They didn't have the time to do that. That was pushed off till Sunday. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af lo b'yom chamishi. That was the case even on Thursday. In other words, if the Chag ended Wednesday night, the Kohanim would be busy on Thursday doing other activities, catching up from after the Chag. They were busy getting the Mizbeach back in order because there was a huge amount of ash that had accumulated over the Chagim, etc. So they were fairly busy on Thursday as well. So if the Chag ended Wednesday night, the Mishnah tells us that they didn't do the turnover on Thursday and certainly not Friday because they were busy getting ready for Shabbos. They would do it on Sunday. It says She'ena Kohanim Pnuyim. They were busy doing other things on Thursday, also Friday. So the turnover was done on Sunday as well. Mishnah Ches, we mentioned in the prior Mishnah that after the Regel, all of the Kalim, all the movable utensils that Ame Haaretz could come in contact with during the Chag, during the Regel, had to be immersed in a mikveh after the holiday ended. So the Mishnah now asks, Ketzad ma'avirin al taharas hazara? What was the procedure that they would remove all the vessels and they would tovel it in mikveh? So it says, matfilin mesakelim shayu b'mikdash. They would be tovel all of the kelim, all of the movable kelim that were in the Beis HaMikdash, because whether it be Yisraelim that were Amei Arts or Kohanim who were allowed into parts of the Beis HaMikdash that Yisraelim were not allowed into, there were also Kohanim that were Amei Arts, not strict about Tuma and Tahara, so they had to tovel it after the Chag. The Omrim Lahem, and they would also tell in advance to the Kohanim who are Amei Arts that we have one specific vessel that we are not able to be tovel, and that was the Shulchan. Hizaru Shlos Sigu B'Shulchan V'Tetam Uha. They told the Kohanim who are Amei Aretz, be careful when you're around the Beis HaMikdash, don't touch the Shulchan. The Shulchan was where they put the Lechem HaPanim, which was switched out on Shabbos. They took out the old, put in the new Lechem HaPanim, the loaves, the showbread, and accordingly, because the Pasuk says that the Shulchan, the Lechem HaPanim that had to be on that special Shulchan, on that table, had to be there tamid continuously, they were not able to remove that Shulchan in a case it would become Tame. So they had to be stricter around it and say, Kohanim, who are Amei Aretz, be careful, we don't have a solution to tovel the Shulchan in a mikvah. It always has to stay in its position, careful not to touch it at all. The Mishnah now continues, so when they would remove the Kalim, they would have this changeover, everything that was used for the Chag had to be taken out, everything that was at risk of being touched by an Am Aretz had to be put in a mikvah. So what would you do continuing with the avod in the Beis HaMikdash? You needed kelim there. Kol ha-kelim shayu b'mikdash, all of the kelim, all these movable vessels that had to be toveled b'mikvah, all of them, yesh lem shnim u'shlishim, they had replacements, a second set, a third set, shim nidmu ha-rishonim, that if the first set became tmeim, yaviu shnim tachtem, they can use the replacements. Accordingly, when they were doing this changeover of all the kelim, toveling everything in the mikvah after the regel, they had replacements that they would use. And continuing, going back to the resh of our Mishnah, kol ha-kelim she'yuzvu b'mikdash, all of these kelim after the regel, after the holiday ended, all of these movable kelim, te'unin, tefillah, they all had to be tovel, but there were a couple more exceptions to the rule here. Chutz mi bizbach ha-zahav u'mizbach ha-nechoshes, with the exception of the altars, the altar, the golden altar that was inside the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the copper altar that was outside in the courtyard, those were not toveled, according to Dimip Nesh and Kakarka, Divi Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, because they were just like the ground. In other words, because they were attached to the ground, just like the ground. The soil cannot become tamei, so too items that are attached to the ground also do not become tmeim, so they did not have to be toveled after the Chag, those two altars. On the other hand, Chachamim disagree, v'chachamim omrim ibneshen mitzubin, because they are plated with metal, although the default would be the ground and items attached to the ground don't have to be toveled, they don't become tame, but because these two mizbechot, these altars, were plated with metal, they indeed could become tameim, and accordingly, they also had to be immersed in a mitzvah after the Chag, just like the other Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash.